Medical information obtained from our website or the live show is not intended to be a substitute for professional care. If your pet has or you suspect they might have an illness or other medical condition, you should consult a health care provider. The opinions expressed on this radio program are not necessarily those of All Paws Pet Talk, this radio show, or their sponsors.
Hello, you're listening to All Paws Pet Talk Radio and Smart Animal Talk with me, Deb Wolf. I'm your host of Smart Animal Talk. I'm what makes it smart because I read a lot and I interview the best guests in the world and I ask some smart questions you send me. So that's why it's so smart. But if you've been listening for a while, you can find some more shows at DeborahWolfOnline.com. And that's going to be totally revamped and relaunched in January. It's going to be very exciting and I will keep telling you about it. In the meantime, if you want to see my beautiful Christmas campers, the dogs who come to stay at Camp Good Dog because their owners treat them right and they're on holiday or they've got houses full of relatives and the dogs come here and they get to roll in mud and play and romp in snow and play with each other. And of course, we clean them up every day, but they get to have such a great time on a farm, a real doggy vacation at Camp Good Dog. So if you want to check them out, go to Facebook and you can see all the happy campers because you can't fake it. When there are two dogs playing like that and there's just joy coming out of their eyes and they're smiling with every muscle they've got in their mouth. And you can just see that they're just so happy and excited and at the same time relaxed from all the exercise. You know, they're just in their blissful zone. So that's what Camp Good Dog does. If you want to check that out, check us out on Facebook. In the meantime, we've kind of got a bit of a we've got a bit of a scoop today. We're going to be the first ever to listen to a new song, a new tune by Skip Haines. We've heard some of his music before, and it's from PetCDs.com, if you want to go check that out, PetCDs.com. But we're the only ones. No one else has heard this, right, Skip? You're coming to us with a new song, right, Skip?
Yeah, that's true. Jack Guberman asked me to do this, so... yes, it is a new song, but it's not animal related.
Oh, it's not.
No, it's not. And I'm just wondering if you actually want to play this song because it's not. It's from a new album I'm doing.
And, well, you know what? He told us we could. He told us we could play this song, and we'd be the first ever in the world to air this.
Well, you would.
So we're kind of into it. We're kind of into it. In fact, I'm hoping we can just play it. Can we just play it, Doug?
A couple of tokes and I'm feeling good. Tension's melted away. I wasn't hungry a minute ago, but somehow now that's changed. You know, I think I'll stroll on down to the kitchen just to see what I can find. A little something to tickle the tongue, a little something to feed the mind. I've got a bad, bad case of the munchies. It happens every time I smoke, because everything tastes better with every toe. I'm sitting on the couch watching Dancing with the Stars, drinking chocolate milk, eating candy bars, because everything tastes better every time you smoke. I need to eat something right now. Anything will do. You know, couch watching Dancing with the Stars. Drinking chocolate milk, eating candy bars. You know I'm drinking chocolate milk and eating candy bars. Because everything tastes better.
Well, Skip, you certainly surprised me.
When I talked with Jack, you know, I told him this album's called The More You Smoke, The Better We Sound.
Well, as an agent for musicians, he probably understands that he probably has to listen to a lot of bad music. But no, that's good music. And it's not as unpet related as you might think. You kind of threw me for a loop. I was going to talk about Christmas and things like that.
Well,
and I kind of figured your music would be dogs and cats singing Christmas tunes. But no, it wasn't.
But at the same time, though,
there's so much in the news right now about pot and pots and pets and all the different things that go with that, pot and pets.
Yeah,
and one thing I want to say, we only have a couple minutes till break, but we're going to come back and talk more about this. But
okay,
one thing
great.
I want to say first is just a little bit of a public service message on this. And that is that even though there are prescriptions for dogs and cats on chemotherapy, dogs and cats with certain illnesses, there are prescriptions for them to take pot in measured doses exactly according to their weight and animal type. There is such a thing.
Really?
They are not supposed to get into human recreational drugs. And so if you smoke pot, your dog will find it. Your dog knows where it is. Even when you don't remember where it is, your dog and your cat know where it is all the time. And they're very curious about it. They know you value it. They know you visit it a lot. They know it smells like you. They want to get a hold of it too. And it can be very, very deadly. So lock it up. The other thing is they're going to spill it all over the place. And if you really are on it for medicinal use, you don't want that.
So stay tuned and we'll talk more with
Skip Haynes. We'll talk about pot and pets. We'll talk about other things too. And if you want to look at more of his music, check out petcds.com. And, we've got a minute left. So there's all kinds of animals that do get pot for illnesses. Carol Osborne has been on the show before and talked about it. But again, you really got to see a vet first.
Well, I wanted to say, absolutely, pot and animals don't mix, because one of my dogs found it. They will find it, because pot is very, cats will find it too, because it's like catnip. It's in the same family. And my dog found it somewhere, and I didn't know what was going on. I thought he was having seizures. I brought him to the emergency ward, the emergency vet, and the vet looked at me and said, does anybody in your family smoke pot? I went, yeah. She said, the dog's not having a seizure, because seizures end quickly. She said, you know, it cost me $900.
Oh my gosh. Well, you know what? We only have a few seconds left till break. Everybody stay tuned, and we're going to hear what happened to the poor doggy who OD'd on pot and what happened and how I hope they rescued him. So stay tuned to Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio. We'll be back in a minute and let Skip finish his story.
And anytime you're near,
treat your furry best friend with a clear conscience. Clear Conscience Pet, that is. Everything made by this family-owned company is artisan-crafted in the USA. From family-farmed ingredient sources, holistically formulated for your pet's best health. And just plain delicious. Their treats, chews, and the amazing super gravy food topper for dogs and cats are simply the best you can buy. And the company has won 5 National Nutrition Awards to prove it. Now, Clear Conscience Pet is launching the Sliders brand, a true breakthrough in meaty treats featuring the purest tender meat treat ever made. No grain, no gluten, no glycerin or other chemicals found in typical moist treats. Sliders are pub fun snacks made from lean meats, nutritionally optimized with omega-rich organic flax and veggies. At clearconsciencepet.com. Your pets will love you for it.
Hey, pet lovers, listen up. Purr Spray Pet. all-natural, non-toxic spray for all of your pet problems. Proven safe to use for their skin, eyes, and ears. Helps calm and heal wounds, hot spots, insect bites, and lots more. Will not sting, and very safe to use, even for your feathered friends. To find out how you can keep your pets happy and healthy, go to purrspraypet.com. That's purrspraypet.com. purrspraypet.com. Or call us now at 386-310-3924. Hello, we're back on Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio with me, Deb Wolf. And now we're a little more relaxed because that clip took up a lot of time. We have to go to break pretty quick there, Skip. So please, can you tell us the story again? And in case someone's listening right now, this is a story of a dog, I think it's a dog, who got into a human's recreational pot. Mm-hmm. And ended up in an emergency situation. So let's hear all about this, Skip. I hope it has a happy ending.
Oh, yeah, it does. I mean, okay. It wasn't fatal. It was just my dog. I have a little, 18-pound dog who somehow, I don't know what he found, how much he found, but he found it, and he it looked like he was having a seizure. He just kind of fell over and freaked us out completely and took him to the vet, and the vet kind of looked at me and said, anybody smoke pot in your house? I went, yeah. He said, well, your dog got into it. That's what it is. So the outcome was happy. It cost us $900. And so I'm just saying pot and animals don't mix. I didn't know that they gave it medicinally. That's pretty cool. That's something I just learned.
For certain conditions, like if you have a dog on chemotherapy and it's not eating and it has stomach upset, I mean, it's very specific, and the dose will usually, it's not a smoking thing.
No.
The dose will be in an edible form that's suited to the dog with his weight, his age, his metabolism, and his condition factored in. So it's not like you just smoke yourself and blow it his way. That is not the deal.
It's the same thing that they do with humans. And there's no THC in that oil. Strictly medicinal, for medicinal purposes only, which is another song on this new album. But
and with like when you talk about dogs getting into things, there are so many things dogs and cats will get into that you wouldn't expect. I've had a customer tell me that their dog not once but twice ate her husband's eyeglasses.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So and I've heard this from other people. Because it's a cherished object of yours. It's regular use, and it smells like you. And those three things make a dog want it. So there's all kinds of stuff. You wonder, why do they pick your favorite shoes, your designer shoes? Why do they ignore the shoes that they should like more, the ones you walk them with? Why are they going for the nice ones? You really didn't, your new, brand new shoes. Right. Yeah, that's why.
Exactly.
They get it.
Yeah, so they basically, the pot side of my life is the other side of my life, and that was my animals. And you have to be careful as a human. You don't know what dosage is and all that stuff. With all the new dispensaries opening, edibles, they have edibles now all the time. And I personally wouldn't touch them because you don't know what the dosage is.
Well, the problem with that and pets, too, that's really, really huge problem. Because even if the dog or the cat isn't going to go for your drug stash, they, of course, are going to go for food left out. So if it's food
and
children, I mean, it's really, 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 really got to be labeled and packaged and kept away and locked away in a, it's just so, better to buy what you need and consume it and not have it around, because these animals, they don't know the difference. And if you give a dog a double whammy of something like pot brownies, now you're giving it chocolate, which is deadly to it anyway. And then on top of it, a whole bunch of toxins like sugar and stuff it shouldn't have, and then a drug. I mean, you're gonna, you could easily kill your dog. Your dog's 18 pounds. If your dog was a teacup, it might not have made it.
Exactly.
And they don't know what they're doing. It's not like they'll They'll only breed as much as won't make them sick. I saw a standard poodle eat an entire box of chocolates. Sure. I know of a Labrador retriever and a mail slot incident that resulted in a vet bill and a whole lot of Godiva chocolate that went missing. And diarrhea. That's the other thing. When the animal gets this kind of a situation, it's puking and it has diarrhea. It's an explosive situation, yes, on top of everything else.
So everyone should absolutely be aware.
Lock
of that.
It up. Mm-hmm. Be careful. And you know, you've made a point about the dispensaries. The more that marijuana use becomes mainstream and becomes legal and becomes, mm-hmm, part of what people do, just like alcohol used to be, and you know, at one point it was prohibited and then it was introduced, we had to learn to do things like keep it away from the kids and teach them responsible drinking and, you know, this type of thing. And we have to do the same thing with marijuana. It should not be, you know, the pets should never be given alcohol or recreational human drugs, ever. It really, and I think it's worth mentioning alcohol because, you know, I was just reading that with humans, six years from now, the rate of people hospitalized for alcohol-related illnesses will have caught up to what has been the leading cause for hospital visits for years, tobacco. Mm-hmm. So in 6 years, drinking, the illnesses caused by too much alcohol are going to outweigh smoking. Not only that, but they go on to say, this is just mind-blowing because it's from Center for Addictions Research in BC, where I live, and they say they say that it's the trend is tracking up, and the latest hospital admissions go, you know, even more so, and if the status quo continues, it's predicted there would be basically, they give you all the numbers, but it concludes that it's going to be five times the number of hospitalizations for alcohol as there are for all illicit drugs combined.
Sure.
By the year 2020. So you all that stuff, though, like the terrible, terrible stuff, like the crack and the cocaine and the meth and all the things that are just plaguing our society, add them all together and they won't cause as many hospital visits as alcohol. So I think we really, really got to get smart about this. And you hear these things. I mean, I drive by these little monuments on the side of the road with pictures of teenagers and all these flowers where some drunk driver incident killed children, teenagers, or teenagers were involved. And it's just so damn sad. We've got to get this.
Well, they're drugs, you know, and that's what drugs do. And the thing with marijuana, especially, I never really until now thought about, you know, drugs and pets. But now this has opened up a whole new thing for me, probably a couple of new pet-related songs. But when I was writing for this new album, I wanted to keep it light. Basically, the reason I did the album was, for years and years and years, performers, you couldn't write about, you couldn't put out songs about drugs. It didn't work on mainstream radio if it's your business writing songs. So now that it's kind of out of the closet and it's becoming legalized, I wanted to write a light album about pot. There was running jokes on pot. The album's called The More You Smoke, The Better We Sound. There was a running joke with the band. You know, the other one is, it's for medicinal purposes only. You know, that was another joke. So I was looking for a light approach to edibles. You know, I was looking at incredible edibles and things like that. And the more that I thought about it, the worst high I ever had in my life was on a pot brownie, or pot brownies made from really bad pot plant, a male pot plant. You couldn't get high from it. And I never got so high in my life where I couldn't drive. I was scared. So I don't touch edibles, because you don't know the dosage.
Okay, well, stay tuned, everybody. We've got to go to another break on Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio. So stay tuned. We'll be talking more with Skip after the break. And I think we're going to steer away a little bit from alcohol and drugs and move toward Christmas and Hanukkah and winter and things like that. But we'll still be talking about music and the new album. So stay tuned to Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio.
Itchy dog allergy sad? Did you know that our dogs suffer from the same pollen, dust mite, and mold allergies that we do? Now, veterinarian dermatologist Dr. Christian has formulated Doggy Goo. Doggy Goo is a peanut butter treat for your dog. But Doggy Goo also sublingually builds tolerance to 10 pollens, 2 mites, and 3 molds 100% naturally. Try Doggy Goo. Your dog will Doggy Goo lick it up. Call 855-246-2426. The number again is 855-246-2426. Or on the web, www.healthygoo.com. Goo spelled G-O-O.
Scratch it.
Back on Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio. You know who else is back? Nell the Osprey. Yeah, I told her about I told you about her weeks and weeks ago, how she was rescued and sent this Osprey and sent to Delta, you know, about the equivalent of going from the middle of the state of Washington to the coast where Seattle is up here in Canada and BC. And from there, the OWL president, well, all these people were involved. It was a terrific release. And she's back in the Kootenays where she's supposed to be fishing. So happy fishing now. When I was down visiting Florida, there's an island there called Captiva and another one, Sanibel, and they're connected to the mainland where Fort Myers Airport and the city is by a big causeway. And when you go over there, you see dolphins sometimes, sailboats, beautiful, beautiful sunsets over the ocean, all great. And sometimes I've even gotten to be with manatee. It's a fantastic place. But the Ospreys fly high, high up ahead, and you know they're doing what they're supposed to do, except for one. One Osprey actually lives on the bridge, the lazy, lazy Osprey. He lives off everybody's fishing guts and fishing tails and things. I think he might be injured, so I'll give him a little break there. But, boy, there's a spot for everybody, isn't there? And there's a spot in nature for everybody, and that Osprey's been there for years fishing off that bridge with the fishermen. So he might be an injured bird making the best of what life's dealt him. I don't know, but he's as healthy looking and his feathers are as beautiful as any bird out there. So there's always a place for all of us, I think, sometimes. Sometimes life gives us those lessons. So, Skip, do you think back when George Carlin did his routine about the words you can't say on radio, were any of the words in your new song in there?
No.
No.
No, it's like family-friendly pet music.
Well, tell us about Make Dogs Happy.
Well, the thing, you were talking about Christmas, and I'd like to let your listeners know that we have, if you go to petcds.com, all this music is available there. It's pretty close to Christmas, but digital downloads are available. We have an album we put out called Bring an Animal Home for the Holidays, and that's the title song on it. And actually what inspired that, a nonprofit that had a an event called Bring an Animal Home for the Holidays in San Diego asked us to do the song for them. And the song basically is about, you know, when you, a lot of people want to adopt animals during the holidays because they're cute. And then after the holidays, they realize they've adopted an animal and they have to take care of it. And, you know, when you adopt an animal, it's a lifetime proposition. And so the song basically deals with that, and it's also very, very Christmas. The album is extremely Christmassy. There's a lot of sleigh bells in it, and it's like a great soundtrack for your Christmas parties if you're an animal lover, because there's one song, it's really stupid, we had so much fun writing, it's called Jingle Fish.
Nice. That's funny.
And it's about, you know, Santa Claus and fish under the sea and how they have Christmas. We have another one called Tarantula's Christmas that's all about how tarantulas get bypassed. And, you know, they're all animal. There's a song called Animal Holidays. And there's another song where we did We Wish You a Squeaky Christmas.
And that gets the dogs just like Jack Russells would be running all over the house for
right,
that one.
There's squeaky toys in it, and it's written for dogs. It's specifically made for dogs. So it's a great Christmas album if you want to have a soundtrack running in your house and you love animals. And it was specifically designed for that. And then, of course, we have our old standby songs to make dogs happy that we actually had an animal communicator interview 250 dogs. And based on the dogs' responses through the communicator, we created the album. And these songs are all for dogs. They're specifically written for them. The tempos are written for them. And based on what the communicator said, she literally put focus groups of dogs together. She did a lot of pro bono work in shelters. And she'd go into shelter.
I'm sorry, but that sounds like a Monty Python skit, honest to God. Like putting dogs in a focus group. Oh, no, what do you say? Well, what do you think? And they'll just sit there looking at you.
Oh, I'll tell you something. And the replies are hysterical. The one reply I remember when we were testing out the final album, we tested it out in Los Angeles. Our communicator lived in Chicago. And we brought her out to Los Angeles and had a test. And remember, we wrote the songs. I'm singing the songs. You know, your intro song, the... That's me. That's me singing and doing it. And so we would play. We had like 12 dogs in the room. And literally, they would be sitting with a handler who had a clipboard. And the communicator would go around and ask the dogs what they thought of the music. And we would play the songs. And the one comment that I remember particularly was one dog said, "I've heard better."
And, funny. I've heard better.
Yeah, it's like, really? So it was, but it's very interesting, and we didn't know what we were doing. And I went on Weekend Edition on NPR with Scott Simon with the mm-hmm. album, mm-hmm. and it became the most emailed show in the history of NPR because when we played Squeaky Deaky, thousands of dogs responded to it all over the country or all over the world, wherever it was.
Well, they would because of the squeaky, and, you know, I could totally see that. If you've got a squeaky toy in the song... then that's going to really cause...
Right, and Squeaky Toy and the instrument...
I could not play that at my kennel. They'd be running around getting
upset.
Well,
I'll tell you something. After we did it, we started getting emails and letters from people all over the country. We got a lot of emails from vets telling us it helped dogs in recovery. It's being played in a huge amount of shelters all over the country because they play it for their, for lack of a better term, inmates. You know, and it cheers them up. We had no idea that this was going to happen, but, you know, and people wrote in and said it helped my dog with separation anxiety and thunder and all these kind of things that we had no idea. Yeah, I mean, the only thing we did was...
It would be a huge distraction from whatever they're worrying over. So you know, that's good. But a hyper-fit dog, it would make him go out of his mind looking for the squeaky toy, like a Dalmatian or a Jack Russell would destroy mm-hmm. your house.
Right. If you'd... Right. Well, we didn't get anybody saying that. We got people saying, yeah, the dog, you know, ran up and picked up a squeaky toy, and we got, you know, from old dogs.
Oh, well, yeah, you have to have one there. That's the trick. If you play the squeaky toy song and you actually have a squeaky toy, the dog's going to go for the squeaky toy. Yes, that would do it. Definitely. You know, don't play it if you don't have one handy, because your dog's going to start looking.
And we tell people... You know, we gave instructions with the album just saying, play this once a day with your dog. Make sure you're in the room or in your vehicle so your dog will associate this with you and quality time. And all the songs are specifically designed for dogs. The tempos, the keys. For example, when we were doing the rhythm tracks, we couldn't use what's called a side stick or a rim shot on the drums where you click the stick on the side of the drum because... Mm-hmm. Dogs from bad neighborhoods equated it with gunshots. So we couldn't do that.
Yeah, I could see that.
We couldn't say anything. When you say no to a dog, they shut down. These are
well, you know what? That's why I recommend you don't pick names that sound like no. A name like Bruno,
right.
Jumbo. There's so many names out there. Juno, like the town. You know, there's so many names where I had a dog come here named Juno who was afraid of everything. And the first thing we did was I asked them, can you change your name in any way? They said, how about Juna? I said, perfect. But within a day, she was not as fearful.
Well,
like that quickly. Because think about it. If you're being shouted, no, no, no.
Right.
That dog thought her name was June, and she was always in trouble. You know, June, no, June, no. So, of course, the same with Bruno. He thinks his name is Brew, and he's always done something wrong. He stops listening to you.
Right,
he's going to be a problem. So we're going to come back in 30 seconds, or in a couple of minutes anyway. We've only got 30 seconds left, Skip. So we're going to come back with Skip again and talk some more about words he chose not to use in music for dogs. I'm finding this really interesting on Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio.
Anytime you're near, I love you.
NuVet Plus, your pet's best friend. NuVet Plus is an immune system builder that is safe for all stages of your dog's life. Helps eliminate most issues, including allergies, scratching and itching, hot spots, arthritis and joint issues, chronic ear infections, tear staining, lack of energy, digestive issues, and so much more. All natural, manufactured in an FDA-registered human pharmaceutical lab here in the USA, using ingredients sourced in the USA. Nothing artificial, no sugars, wheat, corn, or dyes. Never heat-treated to help retain all the natural, rich ingredients. Comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee and is only pennies a day. Call us Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. 1-800-474-7044. That's 1-800-474-7044. And tell them you are referred by All Paws Pet Talk Radio. Or go online to www.nuvet.com. That's www.nuvet.com. Use order code 33955. Again, www.nuvet.com. Order code 33955. Put your pet on the path to good health.
Hello, we're listening to Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio. I was just thinking, Skip, I mean, more dogs are going to be afraid of guns than like them. Mm-hmm. But if you had a hunting dog, the sound of a gunshot would be a happy sound, not a bad sound. So it's kind of interesting. Right. It's all about context. And so you figured out you can't use anything like no. You can't use any gunshot, loud sounds, sounds like thunder. Yeah, what else do you avoid with dog and cat music?
Well, it's not just avoiding. It's dogs like happy. They don't like sad. So every song on the album is happy. All our animal songs are happy. Animals like happy. They don't like sad. When we tested out on songs to make dog happy, the music that tested out the lowest, at least with our group, was Johnny Cash. And the reason it was he tested out, I remember one of the dog's quote comments, "That's just a sad man talking." That's how they...
Well, you know what? When I'm training dogs, sometimes like I encounter a male customer, human, who cannot change his voice.
Right.
He's so used to sounding the same for everything. So when he's mad, he sounds like when he's happy. The dog can't tell good dog from bad dog because it's good dog, bad dog, good dog, bad dog.
Right.
That's a person who needs a clicker because they just can't do it. But normally in the dog world, when they're communicating with each other, all their happy sounds are high pitch, sing-songy.
Exactly.
And all their fighting, aggressive, warning-type worry sounds are low-pitch, growly sounds. And so if you're growling like Johnny Cash, no wonder they don't want to listen.
Yeah, exactly. So, and a couple of the other things we learned, speaking of names, we work with animal communicators a lot, and one of the things that comes up constantly is names. If an animal does not like its name, it can have physical reactions to it. So what we tell people now, if you're going to name your animal, pick 10 names. And take a week or two and use those names. The animal will gravitate to the name that appeals to it. Don't give it a name it doesn't like.
When I see this, I haven't had that experience, but it's interesting you say that. I think that's a good idea. I have had the experience where the people change the name. They've decided on the name before they even meet the puppy, and then they meet the puppy, and 3 days later they're calling him, they're calling it Bucket or Buckethead because it won't get out of the bucket.
Right.
And originally they had some very lofty pedigreed name, But sometimes I think also the old name is so infused with baggage. So the people have had Miles the First, the standard poodle. I met these people. And then they had Miles the Second. And no matter what Miles the Second did, he could never be as a goofy, silly puppy. He could never be as noble and regal and well-trained as their greatest memories of Miles the First. And so he basically ignored them all. And every time they called him, they felt sad for their loss. They felt grief. Well, he didn't want to have anything to do with that.
Right.
He's a joyful puppy. So we changed his name. I think it was Lou they went with.
Uh-huh.
Something completely different. Oh, Ben.
Well,
it was Ben. And then Ben became the happy Benji puppy, right? And actually, he modified it to Benji. So sometimes the dog gets his way.
Well,
and if you had to change the name, when have you found it worked?
It's not just dogs. We had an occasion with a cockatoo because we signed a parrot to our label and actually did a song with a parrot singing in it called I'm a Green Chicken. And the owner, when we went over to visit, we had our animal communicator in for the dog thing, and I asked her, I said, Dr. Kim, can you go talk to this parrot that we recorded? I'd really like to know what she thinks. So she went over and she met Carla, the parrot, and Carla thought that she could sing better than me. I started getting really depressed about animals and my singing. But there was another cockatoo that was at this woman also rehabbed birds. And she knew the history of this cockatoo. And the cockatoo's name was Nomad, which is a weird name. And it was plucking its feathers, you know how birds do when they get upset. And so Dr. Kim talked to it, and she turned around and said, he doesn't like his name. He wants to be called Petey. And we went, yeah, right, sure. So I get an email a week later from the Guardian saying she knew the history of the bird. The bird had never really talked. And after she called him Petey for a week, she walked in one morning and she says, Petey loves you. And it freaked her out. And the bird stopped its, you know, plucking and so forth. I also saw this happen with a mountain lion. A friend of ours who was a record producer, a very well-known record producer, kept mountain lions for pets. It was like the goofiest thing. We didn't like it, but he had a mountain lion, and he had had 7 of them. You can buy them in Georgia and Texas, which I think is despicable. But anyway, the mountain lion had been, they kept it in a cage. When it wasn't outside, they kept it in a cage in the kitchen. And the mountain lion had been acting aggressively towards him. So Dr. Kim went in and talked to the mountain lion. And what Dr. Kim did, the communicator we worked with, she would ask the name of the animal and say, give me 2 very specific questions. And she would go in and she would communicate with the animal, write it down on a piece of paper, give you the response, and then promptly forget it. What she said is the animal didn't like its name and didn't like where the cage was located, because she wanted it moved over so she could see into the living room, and she could smell the other mountain lions, even though they had disinfected the cage. Getting back to your thing, you know, somebody being attached with an old name and giving it to a new animal. This was a cage that had been used by previous lions, and she didn't like it. So they changed the name, they moved the cage, and they got a new one, and the animal's behavior changed immediately. So names are extremely important to animals. So you should be aware of that. Just like they are to people, you know, it's the same thing.
So, and so are smells. Smells are really important. You know, it might not smell to you, but she could probably smell the sickness of the last lion.
Well, whatever
it is. Things like that. If
it
died, if it was an old lion, that's not a good place to live.
Yeah, she didn't like it. You know, and animal senses are so far beyond what we can sense. So
thank you for joining us today, Skip. We're running out of time, so I'm going to have to say goodbye.
Okay.
And do you want to just let people know how they can find Make Dogs Happy?
They can find all of the music we discussed today at petcds.com, PETCDS.com, and they're available for digital download. So if you want to get something before Christmas, you can do that. It's petcds.com.
Okay, everybody, so that was Skip Haynes from PetCDs.com, and we've heard his happy music a lot on the show. We use it for intros sometimes. So stay tuned, and I'll be back with some follow-up on the safety Christmas tips I promised you. And I have a question about getting 2 cats to like each other, a new cat coming to a 1-bedroom apartment where there's already a cat, and a question about a dog who may or may not be car sick. So cat and dog problem, Christmas tips coming your way. Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio. Stay tuned.
I'm your doggy.
I'm your doggy.
And I love you.
And
you know that
I really do.
For your dogs, running beside your bike is more rewarding canine exercise than any walk. It's also more dangerous. Until now. Introducing the amazingly stable Bike Toe Leash, the only safe dog biking attachment approved by the American Pet Association. The Bike Toe Leash installs in seconds on bikes, trikes, power chairs, and mobility scooters. No tools needed, and dogs learn it immediately. With a Bike Toe Leash, both dogs and rider can enjoy fun recreation anywhere, no matter what your ability level. To learn learn more and order your bike tow leash, visit biketowleash.com. That's biketowleash.com. Bike tow leashes are made in the USA and ship worldwide. That website again is biketowleash.com.
Scratch it.
Is your itchy dog allergy sad? Did you know that our dogs suffer from the same pollen, dust mite, and mold allergies that we do? Now, veterinarian dermatologist Dr. Christian has formulated Doggy Goo. Doggy Goo is a peanut butter treat for your dog. But Doggy Goo also sublingually builds tolerance to 10 pollens, 2 mites, and 3 molds 100% naturally. Try Doggy Goo. Your dog will Doggy Goo lick it up. Call 855-246-2426. The number again is 855-246-2426. Or on the web, www.healthygoo.com. Goo spelled G-O-O.
Scratch it.
Listening to me, Deb Wolf, and I'm here at Camp Good Dog anticipating the Christmas rush in a big way. They're all coming because school lets out here on Friday, and I'm already up at around 36 dogs, which makes me so happy. And one of my own dogs, my Red Standard Poodle, is about to come into heat. So this will probably be the last time I ever breed her, so I'm a little bit wistful about this one. And my kids and I are very, very excited to have the puppies born, you know, around March, late February, and then find them homes in May, our last litter ever, probably, unless I, well, the husband in question can still go on for quite a few more years, so I may get him a new wife, but at the moment, this wife is going to be retiring after this next litter. So part of the reason I told you already this show is Smart Animal Talk is because I get really smart guests like Dusty Rainbolt and Dr. Stan Koren and Darlene Arden and some of the best veterinarians that are just so funny and nice to listen to, like Dr. Carol and Dr. Kevin. And yeah, so that's part of the reason this show is so smart. And I read a lot, and I read the books of the people I bring on before I bring them on. That's another reason. But it's also because of the smart questions. And oh, and yeah, when people suggest things to me, like recently Dusty suggested something to me on the air. She explained to me that about a year ago we were talking about cats, and she told me that they just don't like to walk on prickly things, which makes sense to me. So lately I've had tinfoil at the bottom of my, well, I guess it's a Christmas tree, a Hanukkah bush, whatever you want to call it. It's a spruce that's part of a fundraiser for the Boy Scouts that I organized, and I've stuck it in a pot and put a bunch of Hanukkah decorations on it. So I don't know what it is, a holiday tree. Anyway, the kittens were getting into the dirt below it. I don't have a lot of experience with this. So I put foil down because that's what the internet told me to do. And no, the kittens were still in it all the time and making a mess. So today I went and put pine cones in it because I was outside looking, what's prickly, what's prickly? And the kittens have not touched it since. So part of the reason this is Smart Animal Talk is because when we get a smart suggestion, I actually personally have 6 cats and 5 dogs and 60 or so chickens and 3 goats that are probably going to be pregnant very soon and a dog who's going to be pregnant. So whatever I get suggested, I try. And that's why it's so smart, because I give you the best stuff, the stuff I've tried. One thing I've tried that I love is from Planet Dog. And I just think it's so, so clever. It's a squeaky toy that a human cannot hear. I mean, think about that, right? Your dog can hear stuff you can't. And he loves the sound of a squeaky toy, but you probably don't. I don't. I can't stand it. No, I don't like it. So for me, to have a squeaky toy that the dog gets to hear and I don't, that is awesome. And I do have quite a few of them around here from Planet Dog. So if you're listening, Planet Dog, I'm happy to receive more donations. Yeah, no, that's just my favorite toy. Maybe my favorite toy ever, because it's just so clever. Okay, so part of the reason this show's smart is because of your smart questions. And one of them is, this man has a cat. It's 3.5 years old. It's a male cat. And he basically took it in for a friend who's moving. So it wasn't really what he was looking for. He didn't really want to have a cat. And he's realized that a good friend of his is really, really a cat lover. And her old cat is very, very old, probably about 17, he thinks. And so he introduced her to this new cat. And the plan is that the 3.5-year-old friendly male, I don't know the name, but it's a tuxedo cat. It's black with a little white bow on its neck, and it's very pretty, and it's long-haired. Anyway, this male cat is going to go live with this lady who loves her cat, and her cat is very elderly, on thyroid medicine, toward the end of its life, sort of slowing down, and it's a one-bedroom apartment. So they want to know, is there any advice I've gleaned from Dusty and other Darlene and other cat experts I've had on the air, and from my own reading and cat care over the years, cat fostering, is there anything I can help them with? Well, the first thing is they both need their own litter box and in a separate place. When they're new to each other, you don't want one of them feeling intimidated to use the litter and then starting accidents, and then you have an accident problem on top of everything else and a marking problem, and how do you get them to stop using that spot? And oh no, don't. You've got two cats who reliably use litter. I already saw that in the write-up. They're both good cats. They're both well-behaved. There's no issues. So let's not create any. Eventually, when they love each other, you can put the two litter boxes nearer to each other, maybe even in the same room. But right now, they each need their own food, water, and litter where there's no interference, and they're far enough away from each other that one of these cats can't hoard it over the other, can't lie, maybe even by accident, but in a position where the other cat's afraid to access. Okay, so that's the first thing, extra litter box. Litter box is even more important than food and water, but for that elderly cat, food and water too. Okay, so now if Mr. Young Man likes a litter box with a lid, that's fine, but the older one probably needs a simpler, easy to get in and out of litter box without a lid. And you might want to just start with that for both of them when you have them in their new house. So regardless of which litter they're using, they can both access. Let's see, food and water. If neither of them has a weight problem, and it doesn't say they do, you know, you might be able, thyroid problem, I'm not sure which way that goes or what the deal is. If that cat is restricted about diet, you'll have to feed her separately in a closed-in area, remove the food she doesn't eat and offer it again later, and do the same with the other cat. Feed him when you feed the female, but in a separate, close the door. Feed them separately at the same time. If she's not restricted and the problem is she doesn't eat enough and she's allowed to eat anything, then just free feed both. Have food always out. Have water always out. Water always out anyway. And you shouldn't have a problem. If you can have two cat scratches, that's great. If you don't have any cat scratch, get one. Because something is going to be scratched. They need to communicate to each other. And the 3.5-year-old male has had outdoor freedom. So when he gets to your place and he's not able to run on a farm and access those trees like he is at his temporary home, he is really going to need a cat scratch to climb, preferably with a window. So those are the tips I'm going to give you now. I'm kind of getting the signal that I'm going to have to move a little quicker. Oh, no, 2 minutes. How can I do holiday tips and car sickness at the same time? Car sickness is going to wait, everybody. The first thing about car sickness is we have to determine whether it's truly car sickness, which it is in a few cases, or the majority of cases, it's some kind of bad memory, some association. Car means I lose my mom. Car means I go to the vet. Car means stress. Car means traffic jam. Car means whatever it means, relocation. Car can be a stressful place for a dog just because of memories, and that's super easy to undo. So we'll talk about that next time. Please be careful. It's the second night of Hanukkah. Neskadol Hayasham, everybody. Watch out for those candles. Use the little tiny birthday candles if you want to make it quicker so you can let them burn down like you're supposed to, but not leave them unattended with pets. Cats will investigate candles. They really will. And dogs will be oblivious. Either way, you've got a fire hazard. So be super careful. Anything that's chocolate, keep locked away. Do not decorate with it. Do not wrap with it. Do not put it under the tree. Chocolate away. And the same is true for artificial sweeteners in cats. It can be really, really dangerous for them. Tinsel in cats this time of year. If you've got a cat and a tree, you do not have tinsel. You need to anchor the tree and you need to use water in its base. I know it'll smell better without, but find another way to make your house smell nice, because that stuff in the bottom of the tree is really deadly and attractive to pets and kids. So I wouldn't use it if you've got either. And, well, we'll talk more about that next week. We still have lots of time, don't we? No, we don't. Be careful, everybody. No binging on gravy. Just a little bit. A teaspoon is fine. Make sure you take care of your garbage so your pets don't get into it. And have a very, very safe holiday season. From All Paws Pet Talk Radio and me at Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio, Deb Wolf, on Christmas Day, think of me, I'll be with 50 dogs out in the woods, out in the meadows, out on the pond, out in the snow, I hope, walking and playing with 50 dogs while you all celebrate Christmas. So have a very, very safe holiday, and I'll talk to you later on Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio.
I'm your doggy,
and I love you,
and you know that.